We thank you for all you have done for us, for the mercies you have shown us, Lord, for the compassion you have extended to us. This day, Lord, we approach you, even in our prayer this morning, that you come and give us grace, even as we hear thy word. Bless all we are doing this morning, Lord. Quicken your words to the preacher and to those being preached, that your name alone shall be glorified. Even in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to have a word of exhortation and some advice this morning. I look around, there are some people I really would love to be around, because during the week I receive so many calls, and people are going through a lot. Fortunately, some of them are not here this morning. I believe this message will have helped some of them, but we thank God for those who are here. This message is going to be on the website. I hope I got the stuff turned on very well. And you can go and refer to it at the end of the day. We're going to speak on some issue that touches every one of us, every child of God, every born-again Christian, believers and unbelievers. We're going to take our title, the title of the message this morning, as When God is Silent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, I repeat, the title of the message is When God is Silent. Virtually every one of us here, or most of us here, have gone through something in life. And we cry unto God. And it seems that God is silent or will not listen to our cry, or he chooses to maintain silence. It's not because God is deaf. The Most High cannot be deaf. He doesn't have ear problem. We human beings do. But God is not deaf. It's not because he wants you to suffer. There is purpose, a reason for everything God does. And in my time in counseling or talking to people in my own personal life, at times the agony is so huge. When people are crying out their hearts to God, and it's so quiet that if a pin drops, you can hear the drop, because there is no answer from God. We're going to take our reading this morning from Psalm 28, verse 1 and 2. Through times, ages, people have cried unto God. At the time when they are down and out, and it seems that Most High is silent. It's going to be a sobering message this morning for us to reflect about life trials and how we handle it, and what the Word of God says about those things that we go through. What is the purpose of God in maintaining silence in some cases? Why does he maintain silence when his children are crying out? Psalm 28 verse 1 and 2 says, Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. He called God his rock. That is a place to lean on, a place to go and hang out. When every other thing is failing, when every other thing is turning down on you, he is the rock. But here he said, Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent, I become like them that go down into the pit. We're going to read another portion of the Bible from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. He said, How long, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save. Now, just starting with these two scriptures, we now know that there is a time we cry. There is a time we cry. We agonize. hoping to hear from God, hoping that he will make his promises, because his promises say when we cry, he will hear. But at times, it's just so silent that your heart becomes like, what is going on here? So you are crying unto him with all your strength. Just like the scripture says, you are following the instruction of the scripture. Say, ye that make mention of the Lord, he said, give him no rest. And you definitely meant to do that. You do not give him rest. You are crying from morning till night. You will start by murmuring, you know, it seems like the situation is pretty small, so the prayer is just easy. You start murmuring and praying and praying. It doesn't work. You start speaking. Nothing is happening. Then you start crying, and yet nothing. Then you start shrinking and howling and scratching your head and say, what is going on here? Yet all is silent. Then you say, okay, I'm going to change the process here. You added fasting. You added weeping. You move to the midnight cry. No more daytime. No, you just say it's going to be time that God can listen when he's not too busy or something. So you move to the midnight cry and start shrieking and crying and hitting. And say, Lord, I'm your son here. I'm about to sink. I'm drowning. Do something, Lord. Hear me, O Lord. You jump up, you down, down, you lie down, you look up, you into everything all those preachers have told you over the years to do, that it will bring results. You look unto the heavens with your hand out. You kneel down, you bow down, you worship, you cry, you do everything you think you can do, and still silence. I know that from many of us here have gone through that in life. And we still go through that when the burden of life, trials of life, is all over us. Then you say, where is my God? And you start to feel, if only I am like those disciples in the boat that day. No, there were some disciples in the boat that day, and they were going through life trials, and the sea was about to swallow them up. And they were emptying the ship of all their goods and throwing into the sea to lighten the ship. Nothing going. The captain did all he could, nothing going. This disciple remembered, hey, we have our master here. We have seen him do miracle, raise the dead, do all these things. And here we are about to sink, and we didn't hear from him. So they started looking for Jesus, our God. And so they found him, and he was asleep. He was deep in sleep, sleeping. That is how you feel at times, when you are crying, and it seems that God is silent. The Most High is sleeping on my when I need him most. And I ask myself, because I've seen so much suffering among us, among Christians, among the sons of men, why does God choose to be silent many a times when we need him most? At least the disciples have the opportunity to see him face to face. So they came and woke him up, probably shook him roughly and said, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up! He woke up and opened one eye and two eyes. I said, what? I said, dost thou not care that we are about to perish? Dost thou not care? Does it mean nothing to you? Everything is breaking down here. Everything is going to hell practically. I don't know anywhere, and it doesn't look like you care, my God. Maybe I'm preaching to myself here also, because I tell you true, amen? I've been in that situation. I've been in a situation I cried. I rolled on the floor. I fasted. I threw my hand up. I jumped. I worshipped. I prayed. I applied faith. I say I will not be denied. Yet, there was silence. As if the Most High has taken a vacation on me. But we know that he that keepeth Israel, amen?
He said he does not slumber nor sleep. There is no variableness or shadow of turning with our God. He is not like me or you that get tired. At times my son will say, Father, do this for me. I say, yep, I will do it. But then I couldn't do it because I'm not capable of doing it. Situation turned against me and I couldn't handle it. Or I become too tired and weary and I slept off. Or I just couldn't handle it. So another thing pops up. So many things. But that is not the case with God. He holds the whole world in His hand. Amen? I say God has the whole world in His hand. So if He has the whole world in His hand, if He knows you, He knows me, He knows every one of us. He knows your concern. He knows your cry. He knows everything about you. Why then does the Most High God keep silence at times when we cry? Because the scripture says He keeps silence at times. Does He want you to suffer? Does He want you to go through nightmares? Does He want you to come to a point where you say, hey, where is my God? Before we start bringing out the prescription this morning, or pointing out to the reasons or why the Most High God will keep silence, let me make one thing clear. In the midst of your ordeal, overwhelming circumstances, and you keep crying about life's burden, one thing you should know is that God cannot disappear. God is around you all the time. He's closer to you than you ever think. Closer to you than your own very hand. Amen? Amen? He does not sleep, neither does he slumber. With him, I said before, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. Amen? Why then is he silent? Could it be one of these two reasons we are going to discuss this morning? Why God is silent to our cry? Because at times He's silent. And we beat ourselves, we around ourselves, we think, what have we done? What can we do? How do we handle this situation? The scripture has a solution to man's problem. We just need to find the truth of the Word of God. Let's start by going to Isaiah 59. Verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. I said that I'm going to bring out one or two reasons why the Most High God choose to be silent at times. There has to be a reason because He hears. There has to be a reason because He understands. There has to be a reason because God cares for you. He knows what you are going through. There has to be a reason why God is silent. And some of us live all through our life not hearing from God. We live through our life not receiving from God. God maintains perpetual silence to you. Why? For some people, there has to be a breaking. If you need to know this morning, we go into the scripture. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity, that is sin, S-I-N, has made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hide His face from you, that He will not hear. But your sin has made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have made Him to hide His face from you, so that He will not hear. Now God choose not to hear in these circumstances. Because of what? There is a breach. There is a gap. There is something hindering God from doing anything to help you out. Matthew 27, verse 46 to
to support that very place we just read.
And this is concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know that whatever God does, whatever Jesus did, he did it as a son, as me and you, to point us to God. He's an example for the sons of God. Whatever he did or said, he's doing it so that me and you can learn from that experience. So here he is, God in the flesh. He started crying at a point and said, and about the ninth hour, verse 46 of chapter 27 of Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen? So that God turned his back to the Most High himself, to the Son of God, he turned his back. Why would he turn his back on him? Because there is one thing that God cannot breach. The word of God is law, is yea and amen. Once he said it, he cannot turn against it. Sin in any form, in any manner, will separate you from God. You say, did Jesus sin? No, he didn't sin. But he who knew no sin was made sin for me and you. He put in the sin of the whole world. At that point, at that minute in time, the sin of the whole world, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the whole world, the sin was upon him. And God could not look upon the Lamb of God. He turned his back on him. So that even the cry of Jesus, even the cry of the beloved Son of God could not be heard. That's why he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Brethren, sin can be a deterrence. Whereby you cry, you apply all this method we've spoken about in the beginning. You shrink, you throw yourself down, you do, but there is a sin. Maybe sin of omission or commission. Maybe sin of unforgiveness in your heart towards others. Towards your family, towards your family members, towards this and that. I was called to the bedside of a dying woman to pray. You know, they called me to pray in the hospital and stuff and so on. Well, I thought I don't really pray for, don't like to pray for somebody to die. I pray for life. But why is the reason why you guys called me at this point? They say, well, the daughter that's 40-something or 50 say, we have a burden in our hearts all these years. We cannot forgive our more or less. They are receiving things in their heart. I say, well, you guys did good. So right now you want to forgive, but you cannot forgive. You have to forgive for your own good. I will not talk of the hideous thing that was done to them or overlooked and so on and so forth. But we have to forgive others for God to hear our own very prayers. Because sin, unforgiveness is also sin. When you hold and you hold and you cannot let go. I've spoken to some people who say, well, that is what fuels me up. The bitterness, the idea of vengeance and so on. I say, why don't you say vengeance is of me? Say, Lord, leave it in God's hand. That is one of the reasons why God maintains silence when you cry. Because there is sin. Either the things you did or the things others did to you and you are holding on to it. He said, when you pray, forgive. So that your fathers in heaven can also do what? Forgive you of your own trespasses, of your own mistakes. Where is sin, God cannot look upon it. Now the blood of Jesus has covered us and made us free from all sin and the wages of sin. But you have to receive it unto yourself. You have to be purified daily before him. If there is anything that will happen to hinder God from hearing your cry, you have to confess and tell the Lord, please, I've sinned, and repent and go on praising the Lord. So that God's eyes, God's favor, God's
countenance can be on you again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. But if you choose to hold on to it, yes, he harmed me. Yes, he did this. Yes, I did this. And because of that, you want to assert vengeance. Then, how can you blame God when he keeps silence? God has already made a law. And that law is that sin, God cannot look upon it. You have to remove that from the way. That is one of the reasons why many of us cry. Why many of us cry and God will not hear our cry. It seems like God is silent when there is sin in the gap. And we have a choice. We can always take our situation to God. But some of us choose not. Some of us continue in it. You are 20, you are in it. You are 40, you are still in it. You are 60, you are still in it. And you might die, you are still in it, getting only silence from God. Because you are holding on to your own ways instead of surrendering it all to Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, to the main point I want to bring out this morning about why God is at times silent. The second part of it is your faith is being tested. God is silent because your faith is being tested. The first part of it was God was silenced because there is sin in your life. But in this case, your faith is being tested not because you have sinned, not because you did anything wrong, not because you have gone against the Most High God. No, your faith is being tested. And so, when your faith is being tested, what you receive might look like silence. Because there is no answer coming. There is no breakthrough. You are waiting like that day in that Daniel who was fasting and praying for 21 days, battling and saying, Lord, you have to intervene. And God, it seems like to him, God is silent. But God has already set a time. It took 21 days before the answer came through. For some of us, it might be 1 year. It might be a day. It might be a week. It might be 2 weeks, 1 month, 3 months, 1 year, or even more than a year, that your faith is being tested. And it seems that God is not capable of listening or answering your prayer. And it seems you are left alone to carry life's burden. The testing is okay by God's standard. Every one of us are to be tested one way or the other. Jesus Christ was tested. Every apostle, every prophet, every child of God, one way or the other, will be tested. The level of testing depends on what God chooses. James 1:3, you write it down on your own. That's going to be the trial of your faith. But it is your reaction that will determine your victory. The way you handle your testing, your trial, will determine your own victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of us, we panic. I have panicked until the Lord told me, be at peace. When it seems overwhelming, suddenly out of nowhere, everything breaks loose. The enemy is throwing his life right front and back, from up and down. So we take Job's prescription. When he was being tested, when he was being tried, when everything seems to be going against him, he said in chapter 1 of Job, he said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, Job bowed down and worshipped. But there were some people around Job who gave him a different prescription, and that will happen to you as a child of God at times when your faith is being tested. The wife who has been with him all through the good times, say, honey, commit suicide. End it. Kill yourself. You can read it yourself in the Bible. He said, does that still maintain thy integrity? He said, curse God and die. That was the advice. Thank God he didn't take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Some of us, when we are being tested, we recant. We give up our faith. I got somebody who wrote me during the week, he said, I'm hanging it up. I say, why? Because it's overwhelming. I say, it's overwhelming. Well, there's prescription according to the word of God. There is no magic button that will take away those burdens. You may have to go through it at times. You may have to go through it at times, but it will not be a dead end in Jesus' name. You may have to go through it because it is a trial of faith. We are not going into the scripture today to discuss why our faith is tried. That's not the situation, the reason we are having this discussion this morning. We are not going through to say why our faith is being tried. The point we are making here this morning is that your faith has to be tried. That is one of the avenues that God has to prepare every child of God for eternal life. I came to a conclusion that the only reason why God will allow our faith to be tried in this extreme at times is that the weight of glory, what God has prepared for them that love Him. He said, eyes have not seen, ear has not heard, the mind of man has not perceived what God has in store for them that love Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So whatever you are going through to prepare you for that eternal life, for that glory that God has in store, nothing here will compare to it. So when it looks overwhelming, when it looks like everything is going down, there is a purpose to bring you to the other end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In a faith fire, we must stay the course and hold on until it blows over. It will blow over. But you have to stay the course. What do I mean by staying the course? There's a way, the way God wants you to act, even in the face of your trials. And we're going to explain it from this man, Job, here. Job was a man in chapter 1 of Job. Let me tell you what the scripture says about him, about Job. In chapter 1 of Job, verse 1. Said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He hates evil. Can you hear the testimony of this man? He said the man was upright, perfect, he fears God, and he hates evil. Yet, trial came. And when you talk of trial, it came in abundance. He woke up one morning, everything was nice. He came up on the deck of his house and breathed in the fresh air. Everything was nice. The servant made nice breakfast. He ate, he praised God, he worshipped. Everything was looking so great. Then just sometime, 3 hours later, around noon time or 2 p.m., the news started pouring in. This is a man that fears God. This is a man that hates evil. This is a man that is perfect in his way and upright before God. Yes, trial came. Trial of faith. The first band of news was that all your cattle, let's just equate it to the life of we're living now. You got a call. That investment you made, that big money you sent to this place for that, it is all gone. We didn't know that the people we are dealing with are forced, they are crooked. That's number one. You say, well, I still have my job. Then you're the CEO of this big company, and then another news came, you just lost your job. Wow. Really? I still have my savings. Then you find out that the saving you have has been wiped out. You find out that everything has been gone within a day. That's putting it in Job's language here. His cattle, his camels, this and that, that and that. Everything was taken away from him. Oh, and you think that was all? Suddenly there's another news, the worst of all. His children were driving in a car somewhere there, and they said there was an accident, all of them were wiped out. And you say, is that possible? That's the scriptures. His life saving gone in a day. His work gone the same time. All his investments wiped out. Everything taken in just a moment of time. And then to compound it, his own children, his beloved daughters and sons, the wind blew
And the roof of the house fell on all of them, and they died. But this is a man that fears God, and is perfect in all his way, and is shewed evil, and is upright before the Most High God. Yes, there was a trial of faith. Now, as I say, I'm not going to go into detail why this will happen. But it does happen that our faith must be tested. Our faith must be tried to bring out what you are in Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not the end of the story. Just because your faith is being tested and everything is happening like that, it seems like you are done for. No, you are not done for in Jesus' name. It is just a trial of faith. It's a wind that will blow over if you stay the course. It's a situation, it's a condition that is not permanent. Because God has set a line that the enemy cannot cross. The enemy said, well, God said, have I not told you there's none like my son, servant Job? I gave you permission to take everything he has, and you've done that. He still maintains his integrity because Job said, and Job worshipped at the end of all his bad news. Then, the enemy said, well, he still has his health. I took his children. He can marry and have another children. I took his money. He may be able to make more money in time. Let me deal with his health also. And the Lord did what? Also gave permission. I say, yeah, go ahead and touch him. But do not touch his life. Do not do what? Touch his life. Amen? Now I want you to know that God will set a line that the enemy will not cross. He will say, this is the far you can go. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you can hold on to. And God says, do not touch his life. So the enemy cast sickness upon Job. Overnight, his body was covered with boils. There was tumor breaking up everywhere in his body. This is a man that was like Bill Gates of yesterday. That has everything. Children, money, wealth, name it. He was the envy of the whole world. He was one of the richest men, if not the richest man in the world. If you count what Job had, then you see that he had a lot. He was a billionaire. Everything was taken, and now his health was insult into it. That is when the wife said, honey, curse God and die. This is too much for you to handle. But he didn't do that. At the beginning, Job was handling the situation very well. Even as the bad news poured in, he was holding on to the word of God. He gave God praise. He gave God glory. He didn't start recounting and saying things. Then, along the way, leave his Job about 5:1-6. He said something that for 7 days he did not talk. Why? Because suddenly some friends came to show compassion. When you are going through trials, friends will come, people will call him for different reasons. But the friends who came to console him became what? Antagonistic. For 7 days he was in a shock. He couldn't handle it. He was holding on. And then after 7 days, Job started saying things and started breaking down and started making a lot of mistakes. The Most High later pointed out that he made mistakes. At the beginning, he was handling this trial so well. Then his friends came and started telling him, it's because of what you have done. It's because of your mistakes. I know you are never righteous. I know you are never this. You are just reaping what you have sown. And the enemy will start to say, bring people to say things, and that is even harder than the trial itself. Because the people that you love, the people that should stand by you, is against you. Your own wife say kill yourself. Your own husband say destroy her. There's nothing for you to live on again. Your friends, your bosom friends who were with you when the times were good, they are now against you. They start giving reason why God is punishing you. Why these things is going on in your life. Why you can never come out of it. This and that. Until Job got tired and said, wow, all these things for me. He started saying, "Cursed be the day that I was born."
Yes.
The guy was so angry, he started cursing even the day he was born. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 23, verse 2. I'll read it. Just one of his statements. "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." And he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Can somebody show me where God is? Let me go pull him and say, hey, I can't use, I've been upright, I did everything you want me to do, but see what I'm going through." He said, "Oh, that I may know where my God is, where I can find him, that I might come even to his seat. I will come over to his seat and look him into his face and say, I will order my cause before him. That is, I will make my arguments and fill my mouth with arguments. And I will know what God will say in return. How can you do this to me?" In another place, Job started crying and saying, "Why did you allow me to be born to face this kind of situation?" Have some of us gone through the same similar years where we say, "Why was I even born to face this?" You were born and created for a reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what you are going today is not the end of the line. God has a purpose in everything he does. Be it family, be it financial, be it that you are homeless, be it that everybody has gone against you. You are in prison for what you didn't do. You are innocent of those things, but you find yourself spending days in jail for it. Like some people I know. God has a purpose. We don't really know everything about God, but there is a purpose for whatever God does. Blessed be the name of the Lord. "One of the things I do to counsel myself, when the going is hard and I don't know where else to turn to, I start to speak the word of God to myself. I say, yes, Jesus loves me." The Satan will say, "No, he doesn't love you." I will tell myself again, "Yes, Jesus loves me." I'll start confessing that word to myself, that in the midst of all my situation, I know that my God loves me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He continues his argument until God finally answered. And mind you, this didn't take 1 week. This not a few weeks. The trial of Job, like many trials many of us undergo, goes on and on for maybe weeks or months. But you have done everything and things are still not going the way you want it. It is time to put it in the hand of the Lord. When God finally answered Job, he did not apologize like you would expect man to do. "Yes, I know you went through this and I didn't listen, I didn't do that, I didn't do that." No, God did not apologize. After Job had made all those speeches with his friends and cried for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, God finally broke silence and answered. The first thing he asked him, he said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge?" In other words, every statement that Job has made in those places, making all those noises, says nothing to him. God put him in his place and asked him so many questions. "Do you think that I didn't know what you are going from the beginning till now?" We can't go through all those scriptures, but that's basically God was asking him. "Do you think that I didn't see it, or that I'm happy with it? There is a purpose for what I am doing in your life. There is a purpose for the suffering, for the pain, for the anguish. There is a purpose. The weight of glory that God has for children of God. Anything that will get you to the kingdom of God. Anything that will bring you to that desired heaven that God has in store for you. Anything. Look, if he will do it for his son, he left his throne, angels, everything, he put on flesh and became like man. And he said he died the death of the cross. A death that is preserved only for thieves, murderers. For what reason? To show us an example that in life you have to go through things. I started to teach myself, yes, you will cry.
Yes, you will agonize. Yes, you will pray, but know that Jesus loves you. And there is a purpose for whatever you are going through. Be it sickness. Maybe the doctors have given up on you. Be it material things. Be it family. The wonderful man you married, or the wonderful woman you married turned out to be a demon. Like one lady told me a few days ago. He said, minister, pastor, pray that my husband will never come close to me again. And there were three of them. I said, is that what you call? I want me to pray. Say, yeah. I said, the one that gave me, he said, there is no reason on earth. I just don't want him anywhere. Just, please, I asked her some questions. She said, that's all I want. If that would be accomplished. That is how bad it has turned. But there were times they were married and were in love and stuff, and then the enemy came in. Her own trial is that this man is a maniac and so on and so forth. It happens. It could be emotional issue. It could be families. The guy that paged me said his family, they are tearing me down. I don't know what else to do. Everywhere they are tearing me down. Yes. Whatever the level of your own trial is, I want you to know that God loves you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to know that Jesus still loves you. Amen? That the end of it is that God will bring you out and get you to your desired heaven. He will also save you from those things that the enemy is doing. He will restore. That is God's plan. Well, let's look at something before we round up this morning. Job, the righteous man, started well. He worshipped God at the end of the whole trial. He didn't give up. But along the way, he started saying things, and friends, antagonistic friends, annoying friends, and people and family and everything just boiled down on him. He became overwhelming until at a point, he started saying things to God and started crying to God in a way that didn't please God. Then God answered him and didn't apologize and asked him, yes, I know what you are going through. But you don't know what is my plans on your life. What did he say? Job chapter 42, verse 6. After God has spoken to Job, Job now replied, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That is the first thing. He repented of all the utterances, negative things he has gone through. Then in chapter 12, in verse 12, Job chapter 42, verse 12, God also told him something. He told him to forgive those people that has hurt him so much. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will read it, I believe it's in verse and that 12 or so. The verse 12 is talking about the latter end of Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. God asked Job to pray for his friends. That is the recommendation that the Most High gave Job. Because they have so annoyed him that Job sinned or made mistakes along the way. The recommendation that God gave Job is go and pray for your friends. And when Job has prayed for his friends, God revised his situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. In verse 12, he says, So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Glory be to God. I want somebody to shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. The Lord blessed Job, and the end was better than the beginning after all the trials you are going through. But when you are going through, it looks like it's the end.
But that is not the end, says the Lord.
There will be an end that God will bring. And that end will be that God will restore everything that you have lost, that the enemy has taken, that it seems like there is no thing again to depend on. Anchor in Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand on our feet as we close. When we are praising, I hear some people crying. I know it's an anguish from the heart. Why am I in this situation? Why is everything taken away from me? Why does every other person doing well and it looks like the whole world is turned against me? You are not alone. That is the process we have to go through. But I would rather that you go through that process as a trial of faith, rather than because of sin. If God will be silent, let it be because my faith is being tried, not because of sin. For when you are in sin, the Most High couldn't hear. He cannot hear. He couldn't. And your cry cannot be heard. But when your faith is being tried, that is because God has a better plan for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is an intention, there is a plan at the end of the day. And God, you have to stay the course, holding on to the word of God. Believing in the promises of God. All those cries are made. The midnight cry, the shouting, the howling, the tearing of your head, the fasting, the time you took to just seek God's face and break this bound. It is not for nothing. As long as it's a process of trial of faith. Because what we do, he said it is necessary that your faith be tried. The trial of your faith worketh patience. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is where many of us fail. 2 days after the trial has begun, our patience has gone. In fact, 3 hours after it started, we wanted to be over with like this. Of course, me myself, I wanted that on many occasions. I wanted this pain to stop. I wanted this suffering to stop. I wanted a cure, an immediate cure. But that is not the way God might have planned it for you. You may have to stay through the course. It may be 1 week. It may be 2 weeks. It may be a month. It may be a year. But one thing I want you to know today, that at the end of the day, God's plan will prevail in your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you stay the course. Amen. Let us raise our hand and bless the name of the Lord. Paul, can you put up, when upon like billows you are tempted to toast. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We sing this song as we close. As I say, if you are going through trial, if you are going through situation, and you don't know where to turn to, and you say, what have I done? It might not be because of what you have done. It might be just life trial. When upon life billows you are tempted to toast. The Lord is still going to keep you. Say, he that keepeth Israel, he say he does not slumber, neither does he sleep. He is seeing you, he knows what you are going. Just make sure that you are crying is not because of sin. That the silence of God is not because of sin in your life. Not because of unforgiveness. Not because you are holding on to your own plan. Not because you are holding on to your own ideas. Not because you are calling on God in vain, because as long as you are sin, you are calling on God in vain. You have to get away sin, get away from that. You have to repent. You have to turn to God and say, Lord, I have sinned. But today I'm coming back to you. So if you are here in this morning and you are going through things and there is silence and you know that there is something you are holding on to, I say, give it up this morning in Jesus' name. And if you are here this morning and you are doing trial of faith and you know that you have walked with God, just like Job has walked with God in perfectness, upright, he is still able. Yet, trial was blowing on his end. You know that at the end of the day, God is going to see you through in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you cannot find it, we'll go and sing it. I don't care. We'll have it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We say, when upon life billows you are tempted, when you are discouraged, thinking of, raise your voice and sing, everybody. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Everybody, count your blessings, name them one by one. Oh, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you have got to bear? Count your many blessings, doubt will fly, and you'll be singing as the days go by. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one. Oh, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Oh, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When you look at others with their land and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth also. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven, not your hope of high. Hey, count your blessings, name them one by one. Reverend, count your blessings, see what God has done. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So I'm in the conflict with a great or small. Do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey. Everybody, count your blessings, name one by one. Oh, count your blessings, see what God has done. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one. I say, and it will surprise you what the Lord has. One more time, everybody. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Oh, count your blessings, see what God has done. I say, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Now, Father, we thank you. The very first blessing we are to count this morning is that we have Jesus.
That is the greatest of all blessings. We have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have a Father that cares for us. We have a God that loves us. Through our trials, through our pains, through our suffering, you remain God. This morning we beseech you, O Lord. Is there any here, O Lord, that is going through trial of faith? And it seems overwhelming, it seems the burden is beyond what they can handle. God, give them grace to count their blessings and name them one by one. In Jesus' name. And Lord, leave the burden, let that grace permeate, O Lord. And break every yoke, every burden that the enemy has laid upon your children. O Lord, in your mercy, redeem your people. Let your grace be sufficient for us this day, O Lord. As we go through the week, as we step into the week, Lord, some of us will look and say, where else can I turn to? What can I do? Where can I get the help from? He said, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Thank you, Father. For this we pray, believing that you've answered us, you've heard us, even in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together, everybody. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. Is there any announcement, anything? Okay, we're just going to close. Raise your hand, everybody. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Everybody raise your hand and say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. What a friend, what a great God we have. Let us say the grace together. The grace, most of God. Love of God and Spirit of the Spirit abide with us forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we dwell in the house of the Lord, even forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. See you next week, and God be with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Take it and put it in the car.
Are you going to go first?
Yes, I will.